such a privilege to study the Word of God with y'all, and thank you so much for just giving me the privilege of being able to do this with you. We are studying through the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the church of the Ephesians. It answers the question, what does it mean to be in Christ, and what does that demand of us? We live in a time where we often paint Christianity as being easy, free. It isn't. It demands something of us. In fact, it demands everything of us. If you read carefully and prayerfully this letter, the letter to the Ephesians, it has the potential to completely change the way we live our lives, and certainly how we think about and use our time. Time. In fact, if you don't get anything else I say today beyond the reading of God's Word, I want you to get this. In Christ, our time is a precious resource. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that your time is a precious resource? In Christ, our time is a precious resource to be invested wisely. Invest your time wisely. Life is busy. Too busy. Hey, if you don't think so, the next time you pull up to a green light, seriously, do this. The next time you pull up to a green light, put your foot on the brake and just leave it there and count to 10. When the light turns green, keep your foot on the brake and count to 10. Do it. I bet that you won't get to 5 before the whole world around you starts thinking. If you're like most, there's so many things competing for your time. Everybody's in a hurry. Amen? So many things competing for your time. But are all those things equally deserving of it? Are you finding yourself running out of time? Paul has some thoughts about time in the Christian life that we would all do well to consider. And so I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bible or open your YouVersion Bible app to Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we'll be studying from today. I think most of us have become like Lewis Carroll's Red Queen, who informed the inhabitants of Wonderland had to run very fast to get anywhere, replied to Alice, "Now, here, you see, it takes all the running you can do to keep in the same place. If you want to get somewhere else, you must run at least twice as fast as that." Is that what it feels like? Is that what life feels like to you? That you're all the time running? I'm late. Huh? Is that how life feels? I know it certainly feels that way for me sometimes. There's so many things competing for our attention, competing for our time. And we can oftentimes find ourselves feeling like we use this term a lot around my house, spinning our wheels. Working really hard to go somewhere and getting nowhere. Carroll, by the way, was a deacon of his church. But seriously, do you ever feel that way? Do you ever feel as though you run and run just to stay in the same place? The latter three chapters of Ephesians, remember, are about the walk of the believer. 7 times, in fact, in Ephesians, Paul refers to our walk. And in Ephesians 5:15, he makes an interesting connection between the effectiveness of our walk and how we use our time. Ephesians 5, I'm going to start reading this morning at verse 15. Paul writes, "Look, walk, not as making the best use of the time because the days. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray. Father, your word is truth. What a powerful word it is. In your word today, you remind us of how important time really is. And so, God, from the wisdom of your word, I bless the reading and hearing of it. I pray, Lord, that as it enters our hearing, that it'll find fertile soil in our hearts, that it'll take root, that it would transform us, grow, and bear fruit for the glory and honor of Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. Now in the previous verse, verse 14, if you want to look at it there in your scriptures, you can. Paul invokes the Old Testament prophet, specifically Isaiah, who on numerous occasions called God's people to wake up. He knows that in this world there is a natural tendency toward corruption. Let me give you some examples. Anybody who has ever grown a garden, you know if you ignore your garden, what happens? It dies, or it fills up with weeds. Ignore the maintenance of your vehicle, what happens? Yeah, it dies. On I-75, the worst possible time. So you know you gotta take care of the maintenance of your vehicle. If you want your vehicle to continue to perform in such a way as to get you from point A to point B safely, right? Amen. But in this world, there's a natural tendency toward corruption. The same is true for your time. If you intend for your life to make any kind of meaningful impact, you want it to count for anything eternal, you must take your time seriously and tend to it as the sacred thing that it is. Your time is sacred. It's sacred. And so you have to tend to it. Look at verse 15. Paul writes, look at your Bible. Don't look at me. Look at your Bible. Look carefully, he says. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. I want you to notice the two walks. It's here. And he's writing this to the church, and he is saying that there are two walks. As believers, we can walk as unwise. The King James Version says as fools. As a believer, yeah, you can walk a fool's walk. How about that? Two walks. Two walks for the believer. You can walk as fools, or we can walk as wise. And according to Paul, the difference between those two walks has something to do with, guess what? Our time. The difference between those two walks has something to do with our time. Verse 16, take a look. He says, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. How do we make the best use of our time and walk as wise, Pastor Mike? That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked it. Because listen, the answer could absolutely change the course of your life in Christ. And Paul's answer to this question is twofold, all right? Here we go. It is wise to invest your time in spiritual awareness. It is wise to invest your time in spiritual awareness. All right, I'm going to explain what I mean by spiritual awareness. Back to verse 15 and 16 in a moment, but I want you to look in your Bible. Look at your Bible, verse 17. He says, "Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Now, Paul here is still employing a this or that comparison, all right? Remember last week, you can get with this or you can get with that, huh? How many of you went home singing hip-hop, you know? Come on. I had to laugh. Sunday afternoon, I get a text message from Larry. He's gone on to YouTube, and he found the commercial, and he sent it to me. So I know that he went home bopping to some hip-hop, okay? Paul is still employing a this or that comparison here. But do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, all right? Remember, one of these is the walk of the unwise, the other is the walk of the wise. That's your this or that, okay? One of them is the walk of the unwise, one is the walk of the wise. So he says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. First, he says, and may I add quite directly, do not be foolish. Do not be foolish. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I think if I get that direct with people, man, I would hurt people's feelings. They'd get offended. Paul's very direct here. Don't be foolish. Don't be foolish. It's been said that only a fool drifts with the wind and tide. Have you ever heard that before? Only a fool drifts with the wind and tide. Right now, you're walking one of two walks. Every one of you are walking one of two walks. I want to be very clear about this. Every believer is walking one of two walks. You are either walking the walk of the fool, or you are walking the walk of the wise. Every one of us, every believer is walking one of those two walks. You're either drifting wherever the wind and tide of life takes you, or you are living intentionally with the eternal purpose of God and grace as your sail. And please, do not assume that the latter because you identify as a Christian. Please, do not assume that you're walking the wise walk because you're a Christian or you identify as a Christian. I've known many, many Christians who are spiritually drifting through life. Don't get me wrong, they're saved. They go to church. They do all the things, but they have no spiritual awareness, no spiritual understanding. They are, in effect, adrift in life with no real discernment of what God is doing around them, let alone in them. And often suffer from apathy. They just don't seem to care. They just don't seem to care. I'm not saying they don't care. I'm just saying that it seems as though oftentimes they don't care. Paul says, don't be this way. If you spend much time in the Pauline epistles, you'll find that Paul's a pretty direct guy. He did not pull words, you know. He didn't care. He didn't care about people's feelings. Be honest with you, he didn't have to stick around and mop up the mess either. He'd just go on to the next town and leave that for some other guy like me to have to mop up. Don't be foolish. Don't be this way. Don't be this way. Verse 17 says, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. understanding what the will of the Lord is. Let me ask you something. What is the will of God for your life? What is the will of God for your life? If you haven't asked and at least begun to answer that question, I'm sorry to say that the chances are you're walking the first walk. Chances are you're walking the first walk. I will tell you this. The will of God for your life, it will have less to do with this world and more to do with the coming kingdom. Paul's talking about the will of God for you as an individual, but I also want you to understand that he's talking about the macro, meta understanding of God's will as well. He's talking about the plan of God throughout time, the crimson thread of God's redemptive plan in the past, in the present, and in the future. I want you to understand this. God has a will for your life, but he also has a will for our embodied community here at Collin Creek Church. And I'm going to be completely frank with you this morning. By merit of the fact that you're sitting here, there is a connection between the will of God for your life and the will of God for this embodied community, the church. There is a connect. You are not here by chance. Let me say that again. You are not here by chance. There is a connection between the will of God for your life and the will of God for this church. And listen, if you don't get with the program, if you ignore the will of God for your life, does that mean that it's going to thwart what God is doing at Collin Creek Church? No, it will not. Listen, because if you won't step up and do the will of God for your life as it pertains to what God is doing in this community, He'll find someone else to do it. God has a will for your life. He has a will for this church, Collin Creek Church. And that is part of His will for the greater ecclesia, the church, which is what God's been doing for the last 2,000 years as His will for the whole of humanity unfolds. And guess what? Connected. Every bit of it's connected. I want you to get this. I wish I had time to just stop here and talk about this because it's so rich. It's all connected. Everything that has happened in human history, everything that will happen, it's all connected. And part of God's plan unfolding. I can take you back to events, to people, to places, to things in human history. And I can show you how it connects to the gospel. It's profound to wrap your brain around. I will say this. I watched a great documentary recently on History Channel, of all things. And they had ancient empires, I think was the name of the documentary. Three of them. Alexander the Great, Julius Caesar, Cleopatra. Now here's the really interesting thing. Every one of those three people have a direct connection to the gospel. Let me give you just one like low fruit example. Julius Caesar, when he was assassinated, he willed everything that he had, everything that he was, he passed that on to his great nephew. His great nephew, Octavius, or maybe you know him better as Caesar Augustus. And so if Julius Caesar had not died, and listen, if he had willed anything to his heir, because he had an heir, the son of Cleopatra was his heir, he had an heir, but he willed everything to Octavius. And if he had not done that, if there was no Octavius who arose to become Caesar Augustus, guess what? All the world would not have been taxed, there would have been no Bethlehem. It's all connected. God is using everything, wastes nothing, all of it, in order to bring His will to pass in the world. It's all connected. And part of the wise walk is discerning what God is up to better understand how you might participate in it. How can you participate in it? 15. Paul says, look at this. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. The King James Version says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. I like that word. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That's the King James Version. By the way, it's a better translation. It's a better translation. The word circumspectly, it's a mashup. As in circle, as in around. And the word specto, we get our word spectacle, as in glasses, from this word specto. It means seeing. And so bringing circum and specto together, it gives us a word that means around seeing. The wise walk, it tries to see things from every side, every angle, and to discern the will of God with care. The wise walk, it considers the action and the consequences. It thinks before it speaks. Prays before doing. You not only have to consider the world around you that you can see, but remember, church, there is a whole realm that we cannot see. An entirely other reality for which your life both impacts and is impacted by. The heavenly places, Paul calls it in Ephesians 1:3. See then that you walk circumspectly. Let me illustrate it like this. If you hold a book right in front of my face, you think I can read that? Why not? Too close. Too close. If I put the book back here, guess what? I don't even know it's there. I can't see that. I don't know it's back there. If I put the book over here on the side, that side, do you think I can read it to you? I got pretty decent peripheral vision, believe it or not. I can't see anything else, but my peripherals are okay. I'd read very little of that. But I certainly couldn't read all of it. Do you get the picture? You can be too close to a situation. You might not even see what's going on. Or maybe you only see part of the picture. Let me ask you this. Have you ever gotten one side of a story and acted on it? Only to find out after you made a total fool of yourself that there was an entirely other side to consider? Put your foot in it, I'll bet, didn't you? Yeah. Tend to do that when you only have one side of the story and you act on it. We do this as Christians too, by the way. We go into something without being well informed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? The problem that we have oftentimes is we try to go through life not very well informed. I heard it said one time, God will not open the windows of heaven to the man or woman who keeps their Bible shut. We need to understand the will of the Lord. Because you can be too close. You might not even see what's going on. Maybe you only see part of the picture. You need to be circumspect about the things of life, especially as it relates to your life in Christ. I love the way the Message renders Proverbs 16:16. It says this, get wisdom. Get wisdom. It's worth more than money. Choose insight over income every time. I love that. I love that. Boy, that's counter to today's culture, isn't it? Where everyone's primary pursuit in life is wealth. I mean, don't get me wrong. George Bailey says correctly, money comes in handy around here. But if that's what drives you, listen to me, if that's what drives you, then you better let Jesus take the wheel, because chances are you're going in the wrong direction. Do you hear me today? Listen, God has a will for your life, a purpose for you to fulfill. You were created on purpose for a purpose. Wisdom and understanding. Of heaven and earth is counting on you. How do you get this spiritual awareness? How do you understand the will of the Lord? All from the Scriptures. Right? Community, walking with other believers who share your desire to know and do the will of God. You get counselors, trust teachers, Christian leaders, you get it from your pastor, people who are knowledgeable of the Scripture, who are discerning. You get it from experience. Hello? Yeah, you get it by doing. You learn. You say, but oh, Pastor Mike, what if I fail? Then you fail. And from failure, guess what? You grow. Everybody's afraid of failure. Listen, I would rather try and fail than not try at all. Take it from somebody. Listen, I feel like there are moments in my life where I feel like I've just bounced from one failure to another. But I would rather stand before the Lord one of these days and say, Lord, I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I did my best, but I failed. And you know something? He is still going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Don't be afraid to try. And if you fail, you fail. But from failure, you grow. God wastes nothing, not even failure, but He works all things together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. Spiritual awareness. Understand the will of the Lord. It's all wise to invest your time in spiritual activity. It's wise to invest your time in spiritual activity. Let's go to verse 18. Paul writes, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, I think it's interesting to note that again, Paul's writing to the Christians of Ephesus, which was a cosmopolitan city in its day. It was one of the jewels of the Greek Empire and wine country in the ancient world. Ephesus was wine country. Of all the things, it was wine country in the ancient world, where overindulgence was part of the culture, even among the Christians, much as it is in the world today. Imagine Paul saying this over in Grapevine this weekend, of all things. Every time I turn on my evening news, they're reminding me that it's Grape Fest, Wine Fest over in Grapevine. So I want you to just kind of imagine that Paul is over in Grapevine this weekend, and he says this, do not be drunk with... It's a scathing indictment on a culture of liberty gone amok with overindulgence. It's a scathing indictment. Standing, and he's in the middle of wine country, he says, don't be drunk with wine. This wasn't just a problem in the world, it was a problem in the church, because it was a part of the culture. It's easy for me to jump on the topic of alcohol and go down the rabbit hole here, as it were, but let's not do that today. However, let me say, if you hold to the conviction that drinking alcohol is not for you, that is certainly a reasonable, even admirable standard. If you believe that it's permissible within your Christian liberty to enjoy an occasional drink, you too are correct. But I want to caution you. By the authority of God's Word, specifically Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 10, not to allow your liberty to stain your testimony or to become a stumbling block for someone else. Because listen, you risk bringing judgment on yourselves if you do. And don't even get me started on what the Word of God says about contributing to the drunkenness of others. With that said, drunkenness or being buzzed or whatever else you want to call it, the Bible calls it sin. And those who practice it will not inherit the kingdom of God. That, by the way, is not my opinion. It is God's Word. And Paul says here, don't do it. Don't do it. It's a waste of time. It is the fool's walk. And it leads good. Rather, Paul says in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. If you're in Christ, you are a walking, talking temple of the Holy Spirit. If you are in Christ, you are a walking, talking temple of the Holy Spirit. Listen, these aren't the days in which the Spirit of God dwells in a building. Those days have long passed. Now the Spirit of God temples in people. Redeemed people. If you are in Christ, you are a walking, talking temple of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Can somebody say amen? Glorify God in your body. In both these passages, Paul's pointing to spiritual activity. Sadly, a lot of Christians just go through the motions. Going to church, but never being the church. And there's a difference. There's a difference between going to church and being the church. And I don't have time to explain that to you today. But there's a difference. If you are a temple of the Spirit, your temple needs to be a place of spiritual activity. And Paul lists just a few here in Ephesians 5, verse 19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know what I see here? I see joyful encouragement of one another. I see joy. I want you to see joy. I think we forget that part sometimes. Don't get me wrong. There are times we come together and people are hurting. But I think by and large, we should joyfully encourage one another. I got to be honest with you. I'm not too keen about surrounding myself with negative people. And we all know people like that. Listen, nothing encouraging, happy, joyful ever comes out of their mouth. It's always a complaint. Sometimes it's a prayer request that sounds an awful lot like a complaint. But we're to come together and we are to joyfully encourage one another, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Listen, we need to be encouraging each other with the Word. We need to encourage one another with the Word. Someone says, I don't want to shove the Bible down their throats, and I get that. We do need to be careful that we aren't beating people over the head with the Bible. We don't want to shove it down their throats. We want to lovingly place it in their hearts. We are to come together and joyfully encourage one another. Continuing here. singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Again, I see joy. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Specifically, I see joyful worship. Not just be a Sunday thing. That should not just be a Sunday thing. If all your worship happens on Sunday morning, you're missing out. This is about a lifestyle of worship. Verse 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I won't say a whole lot about that because, listen, I've got a whole series this year. Someone said to me last year, you never do a Thanksgiving series. I'm doing a Thanksgiving series this year. So we'll talk about that. But I want you to understand that Thanksgiving, too, is a lifestyle. Should not be something that you do. Be a lifestyle. And by the way, if we're a little more thankful, we do a little less grumbling. Amen? When you do a little more thanking, you do a little less grumbling. It's a lifestyle. The rest of verse 20 says this, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Yes, yes, you heard that right. You read that right. We are all called to submit to one another. Christian men, they love to beat their chest. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And they completely, listen, I don't think most Christian men know this verse is even in the Bible. Hello? It says we're to submit to one another. So men, while you stand there beating your chest, just know that the Word of God says you're supposed to be submitting to her too. I know that burns. I'll get you some cream after church. We're supposed to submit to one another. By the way, that's what being a Christian church is about. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Christ, and by extension, you belong to the body. You belong to the church. We all belong to one another. We are all a part of one another. That's right. Your attitude, your actions, your words, it affects us all. We're to submit to one another out of what? Out of reverence for Christ. It's a word picture of placing ourselves under the cover of someone else. In this case, one another, the church. People tell me all the time, I can be a Christian and not be part of the church. No, you can't. If you truly reverence Christ and you have an opportunity, you will bring yourself under the cover of a local church in submission to the spiritual activities of that covenant relationship. It's the body of Christ. How can you have a relationship with Christ that is full, that is thriving, and not be a part of His body? You can't. We're to bring ourselves into submission to one another. I was talking to a parent recently who was stressed out. Two kids with stuff going on every stuff on top of stuff. She says, oh, we don't have time for church. We spend all day Sunday on the ball fields and got at least one something happening every single night after school. Listen, it's about priorities. By the way, that child has less than 1% chance of being signed by the Cowboys. But they got 100% chance of going to hell without Jesus Christ. Get your children to church. Get your grandchildren to church. Stop playing games and get serious. Make an appeal. Be passionate about it. Let them see how concerned you are for their souls. Get them to church and get involved in the activity of the church. Participate in a ministry. Help start a ministry. Do it and do it now because the clock is ticking. Time is wasting, people. Look quickly at verse 16. It says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Again, I prefer the King James Version, which says redeeming the time. People waste so much time. People waste so much time. And time, as the Steve Miller Band says, keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Tick, tock, tick. Now y'all are going to be going home. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. Read the lyrics of that song, by the way. Read the lyrics of that song, by the way. Because it is the musings of a man who realizes that time is short and there are things that need to be done in life in this world. Time indeed keeps on slipping. Tick tock. I want to take a quick look at the word making the best use of. And I want to show you why the King James translation in this case. It's one word in the Greek language. Exagorazo. Exagorazo is the word. Exagorazo. It comes from the root word agora, which means marketplace. So in ancient Greece, if you wanted to go shopping, you went to the agora. You went to the agora, the marketplace. You would go to the agora and you would agorazo. You would purchase what you wanted. If you were buying back something that used to be yours, you would exagorazo. Redeem. You're buying back something that used to be yours. That's why exagorazo is often translated in the Bible as redeem. Paul writes in Galatians 4, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to exagorazo, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. Church, we became slaves to sin, but Christ bought our freedom. He bought us back out of sin through His cross. He exagorazo. And so Paul says, to exagorazo, to redeem your time. The same word, exagorazo. And he relates it to time. Church, when you're engaged in spiritual activities, you are literally buying back time. And the time you put into practicing what you profess is invested into eternity. Your eternity, my eternity, their eternity, their eternity. When you do spiritual things, it is not a waste, it is an investment in somebody else's eternity. You are literally buying lost time. Because every minute that somebody breathes, every moment their heart beats, and it beats without Christ, they breathe without Christ, they live without Christ, they are losing precious time. And the activities that we do, the spiritual activities that we do, we are literally buying back time for somebody. We're buying eternity for them. Church, this train is racing toward the end of the tracks. And lives are at stake. I need you to understand today, lives are at stake. It may be yours, it may be your children, it may be your grandchildren, maybe a neighbor. It's the woman who will take your lunch today, maybe someone you haven't even met yet. But listen to me, when you do meet them, they're going to need you to redeem the time. Because listen to me, a smile and some small talk will not do them any good when they stand before Christ. You cannot sit on the sidelines and make the best of the time. You cannot hide in the corner and play games on your electronic device and make the best use of the time. You are walking one of two walks. You're walking the fool's walk, wasting time doing stuff that will never matter on this side of eternity. Or you're walking the wise walk. The wise walk redeems the time because these days are evil. But it requires you to understand what God's will is for your life and then get off your blessed assurance and do it. Spiritual awareness, spiritual activity. Because church, we all suffer the same affliction. We are all running out of time. Someone asked me a while back, man, what drives you, man? You are so intense. What drives you? It's because I have this awareness that I have a limited amount of time here. I tell men especially all the time, especially the workaholic men, you got your whole life to make money, to buy things. You got your whole life. You have a short, precious time with your children. And they need you to redeem it. We are running out of time. I was reading this week, in fact, A.W. Tozer, who writes, quote, "What is done must be done quickly. We have no right to lie idly by and let things take their course," end quote. He goes on to write, quote, "It is time for Bible-believing Christians to begin to cultivate the sober graces and to live among men like sons of God and heirs of the ages," end quote. We have got to quit playing games, folks. Time is ticking. Tick, tock, tick. Christianity that is indifferent to spiritual awareness or disengaged in spiritual activity is not Christianity at all. You and I need a Christianity that is more than a confession of the lips, more than a hand-me-down tradition, more than a desire for nostalgia. We need to see our time as a resource and to invest it in something more than the momentary pleasures of this fleeting world. You are not here by accident. Not one of you. You have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. If you are in Christ, redeem your time. Figure out what God has put you here to do and do it. So what have we learned today? And how can we apply it to walk in the wisdom of Paul's letter to the church of the Ephesians? Take a careful look at your priorities and your activities. Listen to me, and make at least one change that will bring you closer to Christ. Take a look at your priorities and your activities and make one change. Listen, I'm not asking you to completely change everything that's going. I'm asking you to make one change. Sit down and look at what you prioritize. Take a look at what you're doing, your activities, and make one change this week that will bring you closer to Christ. Finally today, as the offering plate went around one Sunday, I asked the congregation to also consider giving their time and volunteer, much like I did today. Because it takes all of us, church. In a small church, it takes all of us. And usually a small number of folks in a church serve consistently. It takes every one of us working together. So the usher, they go and they count the offering. And so he brings me back a child's watch. It's a Mickey Mouse watch. Which the following Sunday, we were able to find and return it to the owner. A 5-year-old little girl. When I asked her why she put the watch in the offering, she said it was because I said, God wants all of us to give our time. Then she added, Pastor Mike, that was the only time I had. How about it? Are you honoring God with your time? Are you seeking spiritual awareness? Do you care what the will of God is for your life? Someone said, "Oh, I'm past my prime." Nonsense. That's baloney. In fact, I'll say to you, the opposite is true. You've come into your prime. You have so much to offer. Are you honoring God with your time? Are you seeking spiritual awareness? Are you engaged in spiritual activity? Or are you drifting wherever the wind and waves take you? Tick, tock, tick. Would you stand to your feet this morning? The worship team's going to come and we're going to sing one more song. We're going to be dismissed. As they're coming, I just want to say, there's no time like the present. As we bow our heads, as we close our eyes, as we lift our hearts to the Lord, maybe you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ. You've never prayed. You've never asked Him to come into your heart. You're here today and you say to me, Pastor Mike, I don't know. Am I saved? Am I not? I don't know. No time like the present. First thing you can do to redeem the time, give your heart to Christ. Settle it. This isn't a hope-so salvation that He offers. It's a know-so. You can know that you've passed from death into life. That's what the Word of God says. So if you're here today and you've got a hope-so salvation, you need to nail it down. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to step into eternity hoping so. When I step into eternity, I'm going to know so. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you made Him your Savior? Redeem the time. There's no time like the present. You may say, well, I got questions. I do too. I've been a Christian for a long time. I still got questions. You will always have questions. Redeem the time. Maybe you're a Christian this morning, you're just drifting through. It's wherever the wind and waves take you. Wherever the wind pushes me, that's where I'm going to go. Redeem the time. God, listen. God needs you to grab the sail. To grab the rudder. Hello. Stop drifting. And start living intentionally. Redeem the time, because all of heaven and earth is counting on you. Father, thank you so much for your word, for reminding us what a precious, precious gift time is. We have so little of it in this life compared to eternity. And God, I'm amazed at how much these precious few years that we have in this world can affect eternity. So God, I pray today for your people. Lord, that we won't take time for granted. But God, that we would walk circumspectly. That we would carefully discern your will. And God, that we would intentionally live our lives so as to do what you've purposed for us to do. God, that our lives, these temples of the Holy Spirit, would be filled with spiritual activity that honors Christ in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing. Place to be, amen. Hey, pray for one another. Pray for one another. You know, you just never know what kind of burdens people are carrying, what kind of things people are walking through in life. I can tell you as your pastor, and guys, people come and they share the struggles of their lives with me, with Dorinda. And I want you to know that when you do that in confidence. We don't go and share your stuff. By the way, we're ethically bound not to go and share your stuff with other people unless, of course, you give us explicit permission to do so. There are a lot of times people get aggravated at me because they ask questions and I know the answer, but I'm not at liberty to give it. I know what people are going through. I know what people are sharing with one another. We need to lift one another up in prayer. Join us next week, will you? Bring a friend, all right? There's someone in your circle who needs the kind of community that we are working to build here at Collin Creek Church. So bring somebody with you. And now, church, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go, scatter darkness, break chains of despair, move mountains, be the church, and make it a great week. God bless you. Yes, sir. An Ebenezer is, actually, we have one in our lobby, that big stone. So an Ebenezer.